Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Turn number 951. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiyismach@take10fortorah.org. So previously we've spoken about the idea of chumrah on Pesach, the idea of stringency specifically related to the prohibition of chametz and having any sort of leavened bread. Now this comes, of course, from the Torah constantly repeating the prohibition, from the different levels of prohibition that we find, can eat, can own, can derive benefit, and we discuss some of the examples of how prohibited it is and how unique it is amongst all other substances that are halachically restricted. But I wanted to share some examples that we find, which are somewhat extreme, and then hopefully later we'll try to understand why this exists at the level that it exists when it comes to Pesach. So for example, probably we have all heard of the custom relating to kitnios. Some people like it, some people don't. Okay, fine, most people don't. But the custom of kitnios relates to a close to 1,000-year-old, not quite that long, but close to 1,000-year-old minhag to avoid using legumes and different types of beans and rice, etc., out of a concern, two possible concerns that had been mentioned throughout history. One concern, that those things used and turned into flour look just like regular wheat flour, which would be chametz if it combined with water. And alternatively, because the processing plants, which were so rudimentary, were processing multiple grains, they could get mixed up with one another, and so you'd have a bag of rice, which really could also include a theoretical piece of chametz of some sort of other type of grain as well alongside it. Okay, so with that all in mind, there was a custom not to treat it literally as chametz, but to treat these materials as something that we would just not eat on Pesach. Now this distinction is important because when it comes to kitnios, remember these grains, whatever is included in kitnios, and it does not include potatoes, and it doesn't include certain other late New World type of vegetables, but we don't treat it like chametz in that we don't own it, we don't have to sell it, you're allowed to own it, it could be in your cupboard, you could look at it, it could be in the pantry, but we don't eat it. And that's important as well for benefit. There was once some sort of debate, hot debate about ethanol gasoline, that this was going to become hot and create a kitnios issue because it's made from corn. Now corn is kitnios, that is true, but no, deriving benefit from any sort of kitnios is fine. It's just something we don't eat, we don't actually treat it like chametz. That's an age-old custom that Ashkenazim have been maintaining, and when we come across new things that become popular, like quinoa, debates break out about whether or not that's okay, it's not okay, but that is pretty much the idea. The idea is that the stringency leads us to make some of these judgments about certain types of grains and other things that we become more restrictive about, even though the Torah itself does not restrict. Another really interesting and very relevant example of this type of strictness is the issue which is known as gebrachts. Now the Gemara, just as some background, it's called matzah shuruya. The Gemara talks about yotzin berakik hashari. If you take a matzah and you soak it, so you actually not only is it not chametz, but you could even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. This might be beneficial for people who have a hard time chewing crunchy matzah. It could be soaked before you eat it. So now, if matzah could literally be soaked in water, so what could the problem of gebrachts be? So let's describe what is the problem of gebrachts. Gebrachts is the phenomenon where there are people who do not have or allow water or liquids or fluids of different types and different viscosities come into contact with their matzah. The concern is as follows. The Baal HaTanya popularizes this. He discusses in a tshuva that einenu ro'os harbe, even though they weren't worried about this in the time of the Gemara, nowadays we're concerned about matzos sheyesh aleihem ma'at kemach achar afia. If you have matzos that have flour on them, had that happen, clearly somebody did not knead it well enough, the flour with the water together well enough, and then you ended up with a matzah with flour on it. That being the case, that flour, even though it went through the oven, there's some Rishonim, as he brings, who would hold that it's still problematic, even though it got like roasted flour, it could still become chametz, and so the flour, which is in or on the matzah, which was not kneaded with water originally, could now become chametz. So if I mix my matzah with water, I can create a chametz situation that would be problematic. Alternatively, some point to the problem as well, that matzah meal looks a lot like flour, and either it's the water coming into contact with the matzah, or it's the matzah meal effect, which creates a problem, and that's why there is a minhag, mainly amongst Hasidim, to not have gebrachos. Now, this is actually a big issue because due to the popularity, the size of the Hasidic community, most of the market has gone in this direction, which is why it's very difficult to find anything in the store that's kosher to Pesach that isn't made out of a potato. Matzah meal cookies is pretty much, they disappeared, and this creates difficulty for people who have a kiddush on, let's say, shuls that have a kiddush where there is no hamotzi, and you want to have a mezonos, because the rule by kiddush is that in order to make kiddush, you need some sort of su'uda, and we're lenient with the su'uda to permit having some sort of mezonos, which is how we have a kiddush every week. You have a piece of cake, and after the rabbi makes kiddush, you have a piece of cake or a cracker or a cookie, and you're good to go. What do you do on Pesach? So you have to figure that out, because it's really difficult to buy or find any sort of cake made out of matzah meal which would retain the mezonos. Most things are made out of potatoes. But the list of stringencies really goes on and on and on. There are people who do all sorts of things. The Shulchan Aruch actually quotes customs of not eating devash, honey, te'enim, figs, anavim, grapes, certain dried figs, dried grapes, certain dried fruits, because of the way they were processed and the way they were dried, would bring them into contact with chametz material, or tsukar. Tsukar is sugar. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that there are all sorts of things that the way they're processed could create chimutz problems, and therefore they were stringent to not allow them in Pesach. There are a million other customs that exist in certain communities, one or another. For example, there's a custom to not even eat out at other people's house. They call this mishing. There are people who peel all their fruits and vegetables beforehand. They don't eat anything with the peel because who knows what it could have come into contact with. Some people don't eat food from factories because of the difficulty of keeping, you know, things appropriate in a factory. They only deal with things that they've seen themselves. There are fish which were preserved a certain way that involved alcohol, that a tradition developed in some communities to not have the fish. Certain herrings were used with the chametz-assisted salt, and therefore those are problematic. Some people rinse everything that comes to their table, everything that they get from wherever they get it from. The stamp on eggs is considered problematic to some because of possible chametz on the ink of the egg, which is, again, on the outside of the egg. People who fill bathtubs with water to use the entire Pesach. There's a custom in Chabad, probably because they have a punctiliousness with this rule of gebrachos, broken matzah, and the water coming into contact. They eat it in a bag, holding it away from the table. Some people don't put matzah on the table because of that custom. Altogether, there's a whole lot out there. There's a whole lot of customs out there which are very restrictive and very strict. I saw that Toldos Aron Chassidim in Israel, I don't know if it's true, but Toldos Aron Chassidim only use transparent dishes or transparent plastic dishes so they can see whatever's in it, which, okay, I mean, I guess I have a couple questions on that, but fine. Now, the idea of all of this chumrah, is it bad? Is it obsessive? Is it too much? So interestingly, there's a lot of positivity towards it because Pesach is important, and we're going to see the reasons for the chumrah generally. But for example, the Siach Sarfei Kodesh says in the Asher Kol HaMosif Tachshitin Harizah Meshubach, it's like a person who puts more jewelry. It's like the Tachshitin, the jewelry of a kala, of a bride. And the more the better, the more the merrier. The Peleoid says, he says, you know, Chametz, Mitzvah's beer, Chametz, he rabba, it's an important mitzvah. And therefore, Ulechein Kol Hayad HaMarba Livdok Harizah Meshubach. The more you can do, the better. The Ikram Mitzazu Metelles, the Chabed Habatim, Yafi Yafi, you got to clean really well, and you got to be really super careful about what you have. But I want to close when we talk about all of these stringencies and the very high level that exists in some communities with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who, even though he's one of the main forces behind the Minhag of Gebrachos, it says as follows. Lo Yomar Adam Kamatariach Pesach. A person shouldn't say, wow, how hard Pesach is. Ki Rasha, because what does the Rasha, the Rasha child at the Seder say? Mahu Omer, ma avoda zos lachem, what's all this work you're doing? Ma tarech zalachem, what's all this bother? V'yachshav ein ha'olam nizar mizah, but he says nowadays people kvetch and complain about Pesach. V'yish alom aleim schus, she'enu nikra Rasha, ala kashomer ma tarech zah, al tarech ha'krabas ha'pesach. So some understand, he says, that the only time that kvetching is problematic is when you say, what is the tarech, all this bother with the carbon Pesach itself? Because that's the Torah mitzvah. But when we talk about all of the extra zehiros and chumros, yiseros, all of the things that we kvetch about, all of the extras, it's okay to kvetch about that. Now, there you have the tension. The chumras itself, it seems, are okay. They seem to be something that we're even allowed to kvetch about, but they still exist. and in some communities they exist to more of a degree than others. So the reality of these chumras is clear. Why we have these chumras, why they find themselves in Pesach, is something that we still need to consider. Have a great day.